Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria.
We are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
About the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow, and if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow.
back to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on Encuentro Radio, the radio station for CEPALC. My name is Hannah, and I'm here with Michelle and Mariana. How are you both?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm good. I today I'm not feel so tired.
Okay, that's a surprise. That's a first.
Yeah. Because it's so sad, but one of my teachers need to go to the university. Mm-hmm. So we're like waiting to other teachers right now. So we have a short class with a history teacher, and the class is for geography. So mm-hmm. It's like a little different, but it's okay.
So Mariana, even though it starts to rain here just in time for our program,
yeah,
full of energy. That's a nice surprise. And yeah, how are you, Michelle?
I need a vacation. I am desperate need of the beach, sun, free time, all the free time in the mm-hmm. world I need, and a proper massage. But I'm okay and happy to be here for yet another episode of Mirror Voices. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good. We're at that last push to the end of the year.
Mm. Oh my God, that's like a scare because this year is so fast.
Yeah.
Just give me one moment to finish my university.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's starting to talk about December, how in Colombia the saying of like from
September
starts December coming.
Yeah.
And so now we're in October. So now people are really feeling the end of the year.
And Halloween. I mean, I cannot believe this is the first year I'm going to dress up for Halloween.
Yeah.
Do you already have an idea for a Halloween costume?
No, but I think I'm going to.
But you are going to dress up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the idea is you go out and take candies. Here, the people not go to your house.
Yeah.
So you need to go out to the store, something like that, and they're going to give you candies. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought candy my first year, and I was like, oh, I guess trick-or-treating is not.
No,
we sing
Halloween, mm-hmm. but in the store, not in the house, because it's like, for me, it's like strange. Mm. Maybe go to
it
my neighborhood house to say,
it's
I want a candy.
It's
no.
awkward.
So it's better go to a store because you have the opportunity maybe that people in the street make up.
Mm.
And take photos or something like that, or parties. There's a lot of things that you can do in Halloween.
Are you going to dress up this year, Mariana? Do you have an idea for a costume already?
I'm not like... in my neighborhood is so difficult mm-hmm. because actually you can walk in the street because there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I maybe do it, I'm not sure, maybe in the university with my friends. Mm-hmm. The last year we do Cosmo and Wanda.
Okay, nice.
She was Cosmo and I was Wanda. Mm-hmm. Just the makeup, because we don't have, like, the opportunity to do, like, the complete dress-up. But, yeah, just the makeup, I do everything.
Cool.
But, yeah, maybe, I'm not sure right now, maybe yes, maybe no. I guess that is more probably that I'm going to do it.
Yeah, awesome. My creativity, you know, peaked in, like, not even in college was I very creative with Halloween costumes. So I don't usually dress up very much anymore. But an excuse to eat candy, I'm all for.
True.
But today's program, even though the seasons are changing, depending on where you live, what part of the world you live
you
in.
Are.
But even here in Colombia, that doesn't have a ton of season change, at least from my perspective, it doesn't. We can feel the effects of climate change,
yeah,
differences. Bogota, for example, is still, I think, has it been, I forget how many months now of like the water rationing and like having to turn off water in certain zones. At one point it was every week, maybe switching, you know, a day or so later every week, but it was every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they switched it to every other week, and now we're going back to every week because the water reserves for the city are still dangerously low for the amount of water that we consume in this city on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been raining as much as
we waiting for.
Yeah, we keep waiting. The past couple days this week there's been a lot of rain and everyone's like,
finally
we need the rain. You know, mm-hmm. kind of annoying to have to like get wet and go out. But everyone has been like, no, but we need rain. Hopefully it's raining over the water reserves for Bogota, which not necessarily, if it's raining here, doesn't mean that it's filling up over there.
Yeah, it's like something difficult because, well, rain in the big city, that's okay. But actually the place that when we receive the water, it's not in Bogota. Exactly. It's like outside of Bogota and that they call that we call here periferias. So it's like difficult because obviously here can rain a lot of it. But Bogota don't have like a good system of when raining so much. Mm-hmm. So it's probably that the street have a lot of water. Maybe the buses can go to a street because the street is completely full of water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's something that the Bogota is not like available to have like a lot of rain. And actually when it's raining, the Transmilenio, I don't know why, it's like worse than a normal day.
Yeah,
like the people is more desperate, like, but it's just water. It's not more, what happened? But yeah, the people is like going crazy when it's raining here in Bogota. So it's difficult. And actually I'm not like available to the mayor that we have right now here in Bogota, because there's other part that is La Calera, that is so famous here, that we receive water from there. But actually, the big factory Coca-Cola is taking that water, and we don't know anything about it. So the people start saying that how is possible that like a big factory like Coca-Cola is taking the water, but obviously they have the available for the mayor, Carlos Galán. So he's like, you are saying the people that they can take a shower, or maybe they can use the water so much, but you said the big factory that it's one of them that use a lot of water, that it's like, okay, use whatever you want. It's like, that's not fair.
It's hypocritical, you know, asking all of your citizens to conserve water, to go, you know, once a week without using water in their homes. And I think on the one hand, it has been like a wake-up call for a lot of people to see ways that they can use less water, that they can, you know, collect water, rainwater or from the shower or things like that, and like being more mindful of how much water we're using. But then at the same time, for big companies like Coca-Cola or other things, to be able to just use as much water as they want or need and not make those sacrifices. Is, you know, kind of hypocritical messaging, because obviously we all need to do our part. That includes big corporations, that includes governments, that includes everybody, in order to really make changes to improve our environment. So we'll be talking a little bit more about some of those natural disasters, some of the way that the climate change is affecting us on a daily basis all around the world. But first, we'll go to a quick song break. All of our songs today are kind of around this topic of the earth, about caring for the environment and climate change. So we'll listen to Grita Tierra and we'll be right back.
Grita en montañas tan maltratadas. vida eres tú. Gracias por el bosque, gracias por el agua, gracias por la selva y por la montaña. Amada madre tierra, vamos regresando, vamos recordando nuestro ser esencial. Volver a la ley de origen, a la ley natural.
Is screaming, which is what the song says. Grita tierra,
yeah.
The earth is screaming. And one of the ways that it manifests those are the many natural disasters that we are witnessing in the past couple years, decades, with more and more frequency. So tell us a little bit more about how that is, how that became to be, or what goes into that. Explain it to us a little bit. Mariana, please.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about the natural disaster, but I guess it's important to understand that it's like we are not gonna confuse the natural disaster with environmental disaster.
Okay.
That is something so different. I'm gonna explain. So the natural disaster or natural catastrophe refers to enormous loss of materials and human lives caused by natural events such as earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, landslides, and others.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, from the beginning to the 20th century to the beginning of the 21st century.
21st.
Thank you. 21st, the number of deaths from natural disasters fell from 500 per year to 5,000 per year. So, according to the United Nations Office for a Disaster Reduction, the disasters are not natural. This is like something that the earth decide that today we are going to have a tsunami. Today we are going to have an earthquake. So this is like a result of the omission and lack of prevention and obviously the human action on the environmental. For example, a hurricane in the middle of the ocean, it's not a disaster, unless a ship passes by. So, like, depends of the disaster that we are talking about, but depends, like, if the earthquake depends of the part you are in the war, because there's, like, part of the air that it's like air require more than others.
Mm-hmm.
So the human, it's like a big cause that why is this happening? Because the pollution, the irrational exploitation of natural resources, or like that, or the people that decide burn like a forest that happen when we have like a lot of sunny days here in Bogota, actually the cerros, no, was like something natural, was a person that go and start letting burn the mountain. So actually depend of the part, like in a mountain it's maybe like more possible that you're not gonna feel like so hard the earthquake. It's like because maybe the mountain like a support for the. So, obviously, the change climate, it's like other causes, like, it's trying to present the, like, the climate events. So, for the changing climate, these disasters are increasing. Like, I guess right now in the USA, there's, like, a hurricane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hurricane Helene, I think it is. And I think there's others coming.
Yeah. So they're like for this situation and for all the things that the human do in there, it's more probably like the Iceland, like San Andres,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna finish under the water.
Yeah.
Because right now in the Antarctica there's like a lot of hot, a lot of temperature so high. So the I don't know say hot iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
the icebergs are melting. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now the water it's like growing up.
Yeah.
So it's more probably actually there's a country that may be called so close to Australia that actually it's finished to under the water.
Hmm.
So the park of the kids right now they that not exist because the water is so high. But the difference between a environmental disaster that is like this disaster, like it's natural due to human activity.
Okay.
So like this like environmental disaster, the only cause that it have is for the human. So the human alteration of the ecosystem had led to widespread, like a long consequence. These may include deaths of animals, including humans, and plants, like maybe can help to the earth. So right now, here in Bogota, we have like a problem, like in the cerros and different part of Bogota, we have just plants, tree that is pino.
Mm-hmm.
And eucalypto.
Mm-hmm.
So this plant is just like taking all the time to the earth, the water. So it's not like a plant that is gonna help the earth, but because they not conserve the water. So that's the problem, and that's why the Cerros Orientales, when it was like a big temperatures, not have the opportunity to like turn off so fast. Because they're like so, well, they don't have water. So they like, if you put like water, they're like all their way to the fire going up and growing up. So the natural disaster right now, they're like a big possibility that continue happening because of this, obviously, the climate change. And if the big factories not stop, like, taking the natural resources, so it's, like, difficult that this is going to stop. And actually, like, place like USA that there's, like, a way, and the place that they're being there, it's, like, so common that this thing is going to happen. Obviously, if you realize, Colombia have, like, a different place that earthquake so much, but it's not, like, so common. And more in Bogota because we are, like, far to the sea.
Hmm.
So that's the difference. And that's how the, I forgot, the place that it's so close to the sea, they're so hot because right now the sea is so hot too. So it's, like, growing up and growing up and growing up and do more nubes.
Mm-hmm. Clouds.
So that's the possibility that rain, but in not the place that we need to rain.
Yeah.
Because actually the city that more rain in all the world be here in Colombia.
Hmm.
That is in the Chocó. I don't remember right now the name of the city, but rain like 1,300,000 of water. So there's so much. But obviously, these places not have, like, the support of the government and not have, like, personal interest, like, be there. So, yeah, it's, like, that happened here, but right now we need, like, the rain come here, come
mm-hmm.
to other part of Colombia, but right now we actually don't know what's going on. Because there's moment, like, when the air, it's, like, in the space, like, do all the process, like have moments of sunny and have moments to be like in snow or something like that, but right now that's not happen. So it's like a moment that actually a lot of geographers don't know what's going on with
mm-hmm.
the air, and there's like a moment that the air it's not gonna go back.
Yeah
it's like a moment. Obviously if we have other pandemic, maybe there it is gonna be okay, because when we have the COVID-19 pandemic, that was like a moment to there to breathe, you know, that the animals take like
mm-hmm.
again, like the big cities, but when the men and the women come again to the city, was like a big disaster again. So it was like a lot of people doing and doing more strong than normal that they do. So that's why right now we don't gonna know what's going on with there.
And I think, I mean, maybe for another program, but I do know, I read recently about this like climate tourism of this like going to see natural parks or glaciers, icebergs, you know, things like that, with this idea of like, oh, I want to see it before it's gone. I want to see it before it doesn't exist anymore, before climate change has completely changed the landscape. So there are whole industry now that talk, I mean, it's like a conscious tourism, but it's also this idea of like wanting to see some of these natural landscapes before they're gone forever, because there is, you know, a point of no return of we do enough damage to the earth, it's gonna stay damaged, it's not gonna just come back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, and actually maybe we are gonna finish like the movie Wall-E,
mm-hmm.
that we need to take away from the air, because that's the situation that actually is happening,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know if you listen about the maybe I don't know the name. In Chile, there's a place that, like, the big factory, like H&M, go and take the clothes that they not use and they not sell and, like, take it away. Yeah, and there. And there's a lot of. And that's, like, so difficult. And that's why we're not trying, or in my case, I'm not trying to help, like, this big factory, like H&M and all these things, because they're doing and doing and doing. And the water that they need to use to do clothes, it's, like, so big.
Yeah. I think we can go to a quick song break and then talk a little bit about food, what your favorite food is. And whether or not it will be affected by climate change in the coming years.
They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie.
So what would you say is your favorite food?
Like in general?
In general. Food or beverage.
Pasta. I'm so pasta. Happy with the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem because I love the food in like everything, mm-hmm. but the fruit, that's something fruit, that yeah. I know that I can eat every day, and mm-hmm. actually I do.
Yeah.
Like maybe two or maybe three fruits in the day, maybe in the night.
Which is good. You need, you know, vitamins.
Yeah, but actually, nutrients. Like, personally, I have, like, diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
They can eat banana.
Hmm.
So there's, like, a lot of fruit that if you have this problem, you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, so difficult because actually you don't know. But, yeah, my favorite all the
fruits
time.
Fruits and pasta.
Fruits and pasta. I know that I have all the one.
What's one more?
Plátano maduro.
Okay, okay.
That's
yeah.
something that I can live with them.
Okay, and how about you, Michelle? What would you say is your favorite, like, food or beverage?
I would say meat.
Meats. Okay.
I'm a carnivore.
Specifically cow? Or what
grilled
what type of
meat
animal?
Flame grilled meat.
Okay.
I could eat that every day. Thank God it doesn't affect my gym regimen. Yeah, I like grilled meat a lot.
I would say mine is like coffee and chocolate are two things that I never really turn down.
Yeah.
Love it, especially dark chocolate. And
with the tinto, so with the coffee, oof. Like the dark chocolate,
yeah.
It's so good.
Delicious. But I have bad news for all of us.
Yeah.
All of these foods that we have mentioned as our favorite food, or at least most of them, can be at risk of climate change. Of
yeah.
not being available anymore or being way, way, way more expensive because of the way that our planet is reacting to the way that we take care of it or lack of care for it that we have.
True. I heard something about coffee. I was reading an mm-hmm. article last week where they're saying that demand is not meeting supply, even if we have big players like Colombia and other mm-hmm. countries in Latin America. There's still like a big gap that mm-hmm. is in the production of coffee, and at the end of the day the prices are definitely gonna
yeah.
rise up. And I'm thinking coffee is something Colombian, like everywhere you go, quieres tinto, mm-hmm. and I'm like, how are people going to survive if at some point we're going to have a deficit when it comes to coffee?
Yeah, exactly. So I came across this interesting TED Talk based on a book that came
okay.
out recently called The Last Supper, and it's not in the religious sense, Last
okay.
Supper, but it's called The Last Supper, How to Overcome the Future Food Crisis. And Sam Kass, the author of this book and the speaker at this TED Talk, was also the White House chef during the Obama presidency and former senior policy advisor for nutrition. And he did this talk that was also a dinner, presenting people with a four-course meal, including crab cakes, peach tarts, salmon, bread, wine, chocolate, cake, coffee. Delicious meal. I mean, he is a chef, so apparently it was a great experience. However, he's kind of highlighting these different foods as foods that could go extinct or become a lot harder to grow and produce because of climate change. And he first presented this kind of like themed dinner about a decade ago during the Paris Climate Accords in an attempt to get people to connect the issue of climate change on a more personal level with their favorite food. Often the food is kind of missing sometimes from the conversation of climate change, the way it affects
mm-hmm.
our lives, our environment, the weather,
okay.
all of these
yeah.
things. But it also can affect, you know, our diet, what we eat, what we have access to. So certain foods grow better in certain climates and environments. As the world is warming, it can make it harder for farmers to continue growing the same produce because the conditions in that region aren't the same anymore.
Okay.
In most cases, it's hotter. Or maybe there are droughts, or maybe there's more rain than you used to get in certain regions, or maybe the winters are more extreme, and it makes it so that things can't really grow the same as farmers are used to.
Okay.
And not only are the foods affected by climate change, but food production is also a major contributor to climate change, especially I'm sorry, Michelle, especially when it comes to meat consumption.
Yeah.
So things like a high demand for beef, for cows, requires more like physical farm space and resources in order to maintain those cows. You have to, and chickens and pigs and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you have this whole other issue of the resources required to, like, feed your food. So like, those animals that you will later eat also have a diet, also have, you know, enough food to eat so that they're more tasty when it's time for us to eat them. That also uses a lot of water. That also uses a lot of resources. With cows, then you have the issue of, like, the gas that they produce in their digestive process can also emit harmful gases into the environment that affects the ozone. So there's
but it's
a lot as well. So starting with Sam Cass's dinner, the temperatures he used, for example, in like salmon and crabs, talking about the temperature of the ocean, as we mentioned, it's getting warmer because the planet is warming and the oceans are warming as well. So in the Pacific Northwest region of the United States, for example, they've experienced an 80% decrease in the population of snow crabs. Obviously, 80% decrease in a population affects the fishing communities there, affects, you know, the diet of anyone who enjoys crabs, snow crabs, of businesses having to close repeatedly because there's not enough crabs for the season to be able to make it profitable. You also have things like fruit. So in his example, in the Last Supper, he used specifically peaches. Now, if you haven't heard, in the United States, Georgia peach is Georgia is a state that is famous for peach, for its produce.
Yeah.
However, last year, Georgia lost 95% of their peach crops. That's 95%, meaning it could be in the very near future that, you know, this imagery of the Georgia peach could not really exist anymore.
May just be history.
It may just be, you know, pictures in history because the peaches no longer grow in that region that was so famous for them for so long. Same thing with wine, which comes from grapes, obviously. The National Academy of Sciences predicts that by 2040, if the Earth hits that, like, warming by 2 degrees, is considered, like, the... I mean, I think in some ways we're already kind of to a point of no return, but most scientists who study climate change talk about this 2-degree warming mark as, like, a big landmark, a big, you know, historical moment that will make it a lot harder to repair things.
I want to know more about the wine.
Yes. So according to the National Academy of Sciences, if we hit that, like, 2-degree warming mark, which we are on track to do in the world, the world's wine-growing regions will be cut in half. So the areas where it's, you know, feasible to grow the grapes needed to make wine, about half of them will not really be able to produce anymore. So much so that the Champagne region of France, if you are unfamiliar, Champagne is like a sparkling white wine specifically grown in the Champagne region in France. Many of these producers that make champagne are buying land in England to see if maybe as the earth warms, the grapes needed to make champagne will be able to grow in England, meaning it will no longer be able to grow in Champagne in France. Things like that where people are trying to look for solutions, maybe, because it seems like they may not be able to continue growing the same way or in the same regions as they're used to. In Spain, also, the largest producers have announced that they would have to lay off 80% of their workers because there just aren't enough grapes to harvest.
Okay.
So less wine.
Yeah.
Also meaning more expensive, that, like, supply and demand cycle. When there's less supply, the demand goes up and the price goes up as well. Other of the world's staple foods, things like wheat, rice, corn, you know, wheat can also be used to make pasta and to make our favorite, like, basic carbs that we have at pretty much every meal. Those are also affected by climate, by drought conditions, also by wars. If you remember when Russia attacked Ukraine, there was a lot of talk about how that affects the wheat production in Ukraine. Apparently it was a big producer of wheat and wasn't able to export, and a lot of people didn't have those resources in order to continue making some of their favorite foods, or prices went way up. All of these things are affected. What affects, you know, one region of the world really affects us all. Unfortunately, my favorite, the chocolate and coffee category. So pretty much all of the chocolate that we eat is grown within, like, a region around the equator.
Okay.
And the predictions, again, for if we hit that 2-degree warming mark, show that those regions would become too hot and too dry to continue growing cacao to make chocolate. And you can already see the increase in prices for chocolate as it gets harder to grow in those extreme drought conditions, similar to, you know, as we're talking about droughts here in Colombia, in Bogota. So all of those things affect the crops and being able to grow things like coffee and chocolate. With coffee, 75% of the 124 varieties of coffee are on the verge of extinction. Again, because the conditions, the drought, is too much for the plant to really thrive. So we have this idea of, like, the situation that we're in, where the population keeps growing. There are continue to be more and more people on the planet, and yet our ability to grow food is decreasing.
Okay.
So obviously, that's going to become a huge problem if we don't look for solutions, if we don't try to resolve at least some of these issues. Some of the recommendations are to eat less meat, to eat more local produce, supporting local farmers, things that don't necessarily have to be, like, shipped or flown or driven long distances to get to you, but more local produce. Take care of the environment in any way you can in all the actions, both on the individual level and on, like, society and demanding governments and corporations to be responsible, because it all comes back to our food. And we all love to eat, so, you know, it's important to continue working on these things, even if it's just because you want to keep enjoying pasta and meat and chocolate and all of these things. So, kind of sad news, but hopefully with some solutions to continue working on it. I think we'll go to another song quickly, and we'll be right back with more news from around the world.
Respeto por la muerte.
and we're back for our final section, bringing it again. As we mentioned, this is an issue that affects all of us on the planet, all around the world. So Michelle, take it away with some news from a different continent.
Well, I'm going to be talking about Africa today because I came across an article about my country which surprised me a lot. So the headline said, Zimbabwe took out 200 wild elephants to feed communities facing severe hunger during drought. I didn't know that we are facing drought for starters, but the fact that we have resorted to killing elephants in order to have a protein supply, that was shocking for me. I didn't know people eat elephants. Were you aware of that, Hannah?
No, and I thought elephants in most places were like a protected species of, like, you know, they're endangered, so most places have regulations against killing them.
Apparently, drought is causing food shortages across most, in most cases in Southern Africa, with also Namibia said to kill 700 wild animals to feed hungry people. So the gist of the story is the drought has wiped out crops in Southern Africa, impacting 68 million people and causing food shortages across the region. Experts say below average rainfall has been caused by El Nino climate pattern. And meanwhile, this notion of killing wild animals is already underway in Namibia, where they have killed 83 elephants and 30 hippos so far. I didn't know people could eat hippos either.
I guess on the one hand, they're big animals.
Sure.
So I guess the idea is that you could feed a lot of people. But if they're animals that are already endangered, that makes it even easier for them to go extinct. And then, you know, when a species is missing from
the ecosystem,
that affects a lot of other things too.
True. The argument is this whole process is an effort to decongest the parks in the middle of the drought, because they're saying that there's an overpopulation of the animals, like the capacity doesn't hold that many animals, and then they feel like instead of just culling them, they could also make it like a source of protein. And then I remember I was talking to my mother about this the other day, and then she was like, oh yeah, I think I've had elephant biltong before. It's great. And I was like, what? I was really surprised. Like, I didn't know. I was not ready for that. And then it's not only, this problem is not only in Zimbabwe and Namibia, but also in other parts of the Southern Africa, like Botswana, which is situated between Zimbabwe and Namibia. It has the world's largest elephant population at 130,000. But unlike its neighbors, it's not thinking about killing them and eating them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it's like, because we have this global warming issue, it's like forcing people to like look for plan B's and plan C's on how to like make the situation better. Because like I was also reading another article where it was saying this culling of the elephants will also present like employment for women, because they'll be the one that they'll be the ones that will be like drying the meat and also sending it to like parts of the country where it's severe, so that they at least have a protein. Whereas those that can afford, they can survive for a bit, but those who are in dire situations are in definite need of these wild animals, I guess. because I thought it was ridiculous when someone told me that crocodile meat tastes like chicken. But when I heard about elephants, I was like, I don't know. What is the world coming to?
Yeah, because on the one hand, you're like, well, hungry people, we have to address that issue because people need food. People have a right to enough food to eat. On the other hand, like, well, but some of these animals could go extinct or at least endangered. So that's not good either. You're kind of in like a...
In a 50-50. And I feel like it's not like the whole elephant will be eaten. I feel like there are parts which are okay to eat and parts will just be disposed. And that is not okay because it's a huge animal.
Yeah.
But that is what is happening currently in Africa, and I thought we should talk about it a bit. Like,
yeah.
Actually, here in Colombia, we have like problem with hippopotamus.
Yeah.
Because Pablo Escobar decided take two from Africa and come here to Colombia, and they escape to the park that they have, and obviously there's like a lot of right now here in Colombia. And close to Medellin, to Antioquia, that it was the place that they be. There's one person trying to sell, like, the meat for the hippopotamus. But that's not war because the people said this is awful. So the people don't like. Yeah. But it's like, why are you trying to take meat for this animal?
I know.
It's like a big risk, not just only for them. For the animals, and only a risk for you because you don't know how to prepare this and it's gonna be good in your body. And actually, there's like a person that I follow so much that is Fran Cuesta, that it's a person for Spain that right now he lives in Thailandia, and he defends the animals. And actually, one of the programs that he have in Animal Planet, he found an elephant working like with a person, and obviously he trying to that the elephant be free. And when he do it, the elephant start crying because finally, later than 15 years, she have the opportunity to go to the city. But it's like crazy idea that believe that the human this all these things. But actually, if you know that the human one, like, show that he have power, like, to, I can with this animal, I can with an elephant, with a whale, with all these animals that they're, like, maybe 5 meters bigger than me or bigger than anyone, it's like, okay, but the human all the time is trying to show in the world that he had the power.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult because in Africa we have a thing called the Big Five, which has like the elephant, the lion, the cheetah, the hippopotamus. Like, they are sacred animals where we come from, and to know that, and we've never had the situation where people had to eat these animals. It's like, we do not eat that, but for people to come around and say we're gonna start eating elephants, it's very difficult to process. Like you're saying, even the issue whereby we don't even know how to make this, and we don't even know if it's good for the body.
And actually, I have a friend, just for finish, that he be vegetarian for maybe than 10 years, and he start feeling sick and not feeling so good. So he go to the doctor, and the doctor said, you need to eat meat. So it's like, what are we going to do? Because we know for the air and for the changing climate is so bad to have like cows and all these factories. But the humans need to eat meat. And all the people said like, no, maybe that's not true. It's like, yeah, the science said that maybe you need it for health.
Yeah, it's not enough just to like stop eating meat if you don't replace it with other plant-based protein, because you do need protein and you do need, you know, nutrients. And there are some people who have a much easier time going vegetarian than others. In Colombia, there's definitely fewer options for vegetarians, I've noticed. I mean, I'm not necessarily vegetarian, but I have noticed just a lack of options. So that's
It's a lot of... It's also expensive going vegetarian.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of work to do.
It's something.
As we said, both on the individual level, community, governments, you know, all of society, because it affects not just us here in Bogota or in the U.S., but all over the world, all over the world, even the animals and all of the ecosystems are affected by our, you know, lack of concern for the environment or lack of initiative to change and to protect the ecosystem, the food, the animals, the people, all of these things that we have to do day by day,
yeah,
little by little, at least as a starter. We are all out of time today, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot more to unpack, but we'll save it for another episode. Tune in next week on Mirrored Voices for maybe a continuation, maybe a different topic. Whatever it is, you're welcome to join us here on Encuentro Radio for
same
Mirrored Voices.
Same time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye.